Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're going to be picking up in just a moment where we left off in the first hour about an economic crash, the coming economic collapse of the financial arena as we know it, not this financial cliff, but the financial arena. And joining me is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio program.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Give a shout out to all of our listeners out there. We are so glad that you are joining us today. If you are listening to us on a VFN Torch or on the applications or through highlights, we're here for you 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, VFN Radio. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to continue our conversation about the financial collapse is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Good morning. Hello, hello.
We'll say Merry Christmas to all of our listeners out there as you're shopping for gifts and cards and fixing those wonderful Christmas meals. We want to remember the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. If you missed the first part of what I was sharing in the first hour, remember compassion. Remember compassion this Christmas. If you get anybody anything, if you give them $1 million, but you do it rudely, It's amazing how less that is compared to if you just give them compassion. Whatever you get. And compassion is two things. Is you feel for them, you're connecting to them emotionally, not something you know in your head, but something you know in your heart. But then you're doing something about it. You're connect to them. Take time to connect to a few. If it's just a few people, I mean, you can't be compassionate to everybody. Hey, just try one person today.
Mm-hmm.
try one person and build. Work your way up, you know, to two, you know, then possibly three, you know, and then maybe to your husband or to your wife or to your children or to your parents. It goes a long ways. It goes a long, long ways. And as things increase, it's going to be difficult for many people on the earth to be compassionate. But the thing that separates us as the church is that we are compassionate because he says, if you say you love me, but you don't love your brother, he's like, that's compassion, then you're a liar. And so we want to make sure we stay on top of our compassion, that we don't have compassion fatigue. And also it's important to that, and we're going to pick up with our conversation, our prophetic conversation about the financial collapse in a moment. But understand that don't waste your compassion. Don't sit here and watch disaster after disaster on your television, hear about all these negative things you can do nothing about, and then you're just drained from your compassion. So when it comes time to giving compassion to somebody who's actually in your household or at your workplace or in your neighborhood or in your community, you have nothing left for them because you just watched, you know, a collapse take place in Benghazi, and you're all caught up in something that you have no authority to do anything about. And so make sure that you don't experience compassion fatigue. Make sure you have something to do for those that are around you. Mm-hmm. And isn't that important?
Very important.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can't carry the world on your shoulders and all that pain if you can't do anything about it.
I mean, you don't even know where your keys are at. You don't even know where your keys are at. So how in the world are you going to carry the world on your shoulders? You know what I'm saying? You need to relax a little bit. You need to relax a little bit. You know, we just started talking about first hour about this fiscal cliff that's coming up. And the fiscal cliff, that means a financial cliff, that what Fox News is reporting this morning is that all the time it takes to prepare it once the decision or negotiation is made, really, it's not January the 1st. They're talking about it's this weekend. I mean, if it hasn't been decided by this weekend, it's pretty much going to hit. It's not going to happen in time. You really don't know. They're all playing games, but I know this. I know that this fiscal cliff is nothing but a bump in the road compared to what God's already shown us that they're calling it. This is what Fox News is calling it a financial, you know, Armageddon.
Right.
You know, basically this huge financial collapse of the world system, if not America's system. But if America, you know, catches a cold, they say other nations, you know, if America sneezes, other nations catch a cold.
Right.
If we catch a cold, they catch the flu. And because, I mean, it really fits into that particular city that they talk about in Revelation, how that she made everybody rich. And when people can say what they want to, the truth is, you know, America's made a lot of people rich. We kind of fit in there. So what John was just sharing with us, and you can catch that in the first hour, the end of the first hour, was how God had given him a prophetic dream showing him that this man is standing, this news reporter standing in the New York Stock Exchange, on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. He was in his workplace. Everybody's mesmerized watching these TV news as they're preparing to say, listen, I'm about to tell you something that's going to change the world as you know it. And in 6 minutes, that there was going to be a financial collapse. And it's all been puffed up now. The reason why things are happening now, we're borrowing money from China. We're shoving it in. The jobs we're getting are really government jobs. The unemployment rate for America is like 7.75 or something, but for the government, it's like 2.3, the unemployment rate, because they're hiring everybody. And so it's called, it's basically an artificial lift that's taking place to the economy, and that's going to be just pulled out from under us. And so this financial collapse is coming. The question is this, and let me tell you what happened, you know, the vision the Lord gave me. You can find out more about these on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com, and click on the menu at the top. You'll see prophetic words, I believe it is, and then that will lead you to all the different prophetic words that we and others have been hearing from what the Lord is saying. But in this vision the Lord had given me, and it was just like a day vision, I just saw it, that all of a sudden I was just watching all the paper money like dollar bills or whatever, it was being sucked off the face of the earth. Imagine just there's money hidden behind crevices and cracks and behind walls and whatever, and this vacuum was taking place in the heavenlies, you know, so strong that it was just sucking the money out from under all these hidden places, and you could see all this money flapping and coming up. And since it was like in one particular area, it looked like a pyramid because it was a vacuum area, was like in one area, and it was all being sucked to that one area. So you imagine this huge looking pyramid that if you get far away from it, it looks like a pyramid. You get close, it's just a whole bunch of, you know, paper money going up into this vacuum. And then suddenly the whole pyramid of money that's being sucked out the earth turns into fire, and it just gets it just burns up. I mean, it's a mountain of fire. I mean, it stayed there, and all of a sudden the vision stopped. And I mean, just in the logical sense, I meant paper money, they're tolerating as long as they can people who don't want to go digital. You know, right. But they really would rather go digital. If you work at a bank, you know, you don't really deal with numbers. You don't really deal with money. You're actually just moving zeros and ones around. You're moving, you know, transactions of computer entries.
I don't know if you knew this. I didn't know this. I just found this out. Those that work in the bank, let me know. But if you went to go cash a bank, banks don't actually carry a whole lot of cash in them. If you're going to, you know, cash a really big check, I didn't have a really big check to cash.
Did you cash that $1 million check? Did you send your limousine driver in to do it, or did you go in yourself?
No. You got to call the bank in advance, and they have to order that money. They have to order it.
Wow.
So that they can, it gets dropped off to them, and then they release it. You know what I'm saying? When they come in to cash a check.
Yeah, I was talking to some local banks about the financial collapse and different things, and one of the banks was being honest as we started talking, because they actually called everybody together and their national whatever, and they were trying to charge for things they didn't charge before because they were preparing for, you know, this unexpected thing that's about to hit to all the banking system. And as she talked more and more, she finally ended with the truth is, we don't even know we don't even know if we'll make it through this thing. And, you know, and so the question was, you know, people are going to come. This is what you think is going to happen. You think it's going to look a little shaky. You're going to squeeze in a little news between your ESPN. And you're going to overhear a conversation at the water cooler, and you're going to realize, I better go get my money out of the bank. You know, your $50 or your $5,000 or whatever. And you're thinking you're going to go down like you always go down to get money out of the bank. But they're not going to let you get it. They're going to close the doors. They're going to close the doors, first of all, because like John said, the money's not there, so they can't just give you money. It has to be ordered and migrated around. Secondly, they want things to cool down, because if you take their money, it's like taking blood out of a person. The bank disappears, because it's like the Christmas movie from way back when, that Everybody watches over and over again. I forget this Angel and what's the name of it?
Is it Miracle on 34th Street?
No. It's a Wonderful Life.
That's it's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life.
That was one of those old movies.
Yeah. That and they realize, you know, no, we don't have your money here. Your money is in Mr. Smith's house. Mm-hmm. And somebody says, no, in your money, Mr. Whoever, you know, is in so-and-so's business. And we don't have your money here. Your money's in, you know, and they're realizing how banks work. And it was being lent out. And in 1929, when the financial crisis happened, everybody began to just you know, believe it or not, the Knickerbocker Bank loaned more money than they had and caused, yes, you know.
They did that?
Go figure. We loaned China to people. I mean, I'm saying we've made some major stuff. And so.
And planes.
And planes. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so here we are at this point that this financial collapse is coming. This could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, this one particular small crisis, because there's so many other things lined up and there's so many things tied into it. There's like three particular wealthy people reported by Blaze TV that says that they have billions of dollars of money in the economy. And they just kind of easily shift it around. And they can take down the country by just pulling their money out of a particular market. Of course, wow. China can call it. Mm-hmm. You know, they can start calling their debt. And that's what happens right now. I don't know which particular country. I don't know if it was Chile or one particular country was in debt. And their ship pulled up to a port somewhere. And they took the ship. They just took the ship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's what you'll start happening. They'll start taking America's submarines. They'll start taking things if we owe money. You know, China could have a military overnight by just collecting, calling our debt. Hmm. But either way, listen, a financial crisis is coming. We've been talking about it. The reason why we're here on VFN Radio and VFN TV, which you can watch these prophetic teachings and what to do, is that's why we're here to tell you about them. So we wanted to make sure, because Ezekiel 17 says, if I don't tell you what he told me, then if something happens to somebody that I could have told, then that person's blood's on my hands. Mm-hmm. But if I do tell them and they hear and they believe God and they repent, then they make it and they survive. But if I do tell them and they go, I'm not going to believe it anyway, and they continue on what's going on, that they will suffer for their sin, but their blood won't be on my hand. Mm-hmm. And so... Mm-hmm. This is one of the driving forces of what we're doing is obeying God and getting this word out. And listen, there's a storm being fashioned by God that's being unloosed on this land. No matter what people tell you, there's a sword being sent against this land. It's a storm being fashioned by God. The purpose of it is to bring us to a place of humility and repentance, to turn back to Him. We will turn back to Him. I don't know how we'll be walking. I don't know how we'll be looking, you know, but, you know, we will turn back. God's people will turn back. And the world can survive without America, but the church, you know, will survive through this. So the question is this, you know, with this financial collapse and what's taking place, and it's amazing how many people, despite what we're looking at, still refuses to believe, you know, even with the unions right now, when they're demanding more money, when it's their demands for money already that's causing the entire city that they live in to crash and burn, they still demand more money. And it's like, don't you understand? You're taking our oxygen. Everybody else is going to die if you keep taking. It's like people just still take. Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, the Jews all the way up until the time that they were in the concentration camps, what they thought was a shower, and they were fixing to take a shower and they took their clothes off. People were still believing that this is just going to be a shower. They had no choice because the evil things that were going on. And they were taking their clothes off to take the shower, thinking water was going to come out. And instead, gas came out and began to kill them by the thousands. And it was just horrific. And people just want to believe what they want to believe. Listen, believe God. Understand that according to George Bond, I don't know if it's 19% or at least 19% or less, that call themselves believers are reading their Bible, which means, this is what this means. It means those are the ones that possibly know what's going on. But really reading and studying the word, that number is probably more like 3% of those who are actually tapping into and understanding this is what God does. He does this. He doesn't change. He's just how he does things. And we have some real difficult times coming our way, and you can be prepared for it. And so the question is, with all this taking place, and you've heard it in the part of the first hour and now in the second hour, is this financial cliff is nothing compared to what's about to happen. And it could happen simultaneously. It could happen within a few months, a year. I don't think it's going to be, you know, too far out there. But you need to prepare. Mm-hmm. And you need to go to VFN TV and watch on VFN TV at VFNTV.com, Prudent Preparation. Prudent Preparation. And I'd watch it like this. I'd watch it with a mindset like you just got off a ship that was sinking and you're in a life raft. And you're floating around in this life raft, and you open up this little zipper pouch in there, and the zipper pouch is going to tell you everything you need to know how to survive in that life raft. Obviously, it's not everything that you're going to hear in Prudent Preparation, but it's going to tell you probably 120% more than you've ever been hearing at this point to begin you to think, you know, outside the box, begin to abide with God, understand that if God is designing this storm, fashioning this storm, and there's something that He wants from us. Wouldn't it be wise to start spending time with Him so you could actually hear what His voice and know what He wants you to do despite what anybody else is doing? Because God will protect those who are His, who are spending time with Him. And God knew this was going to happen. He told us. He shares in Amos, He says that He does not do anything unless He begins to share it with His people first so they could actually share it with others so that we could possibly repent before it even happens yet. And understand that believe God. Believe what He's saying right now. Don't believe the naysayers that would take you up to the very point of thinking you're fixing to take a shower, and all of a sudden the gas of a disastrous future pours all over you and your family. If you're living on the edge, listen, if only 3%, let me say it this way, 97% of people who call themselves regular churchgoers who go to a gathering at least once every 2 weeks, according to George Barna, 97% of them are robbing from God.
Wow.
They're robbing from God, according to Malachi chapter 3. And it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. When we look at the statistics of what's taking place with abortion and the innocent bloodshed that's taking place in America, listen, it's people that are saying that they are believers. It's for particular, it's broke down into that different denominations who are actually taking the life of a child. And that's innocent blood. I mean, it's not going to be good if we're already robbing from God. It's a financial crisis. There's going to be a process to go through. And if you turn to God, and go watch Prudent Preparation. Watch it just like you're that person on the life raft. And if nobody on the life raft is going to read it like you're going to read it, you need to read it and understand it and pray that God would speak to you. You need to go to iAbide, iAbide.org, and begin to start an abiding lifestyle with God. I mean, all the religious jargon that's been said, maybe you've been talking about a lot of religious jargon. Maybe you've been, you know, just kind of saw other people do it, so you've been doing it. And the reality is that you really don't know anything. You don't know. You just kind of taking what people are telling you instead of what God has made known to you in your spirit about how things really are. And you need to know. And God does not. God wants a personal relationship with you, not just for your salvation, but to be able to talk with you and guide you and direct you. And you need to know what His Spirit is saying to the church. You need to know this because much is going to depend on it. And this is how God delivers His people. He doesn't, you can read about it, and you know, He doesn't deliver His people from ignorance. You know, right. He doesn't, you know, He doesn't just say, you know, because you believe, you know, I'm going to just skip over something. He tells us to do something. I mean, even to the point when death angel was passing over Israel, they had to go, and they had, there's some things they had to do, some directions they had to follow. So when the death angel would come over, they would see that they followed the instructions of the Spirit of God, which was to not only put the blood over the doorpost, but they were to do something with the lamb before they had done. That was a whole process. And when you read Revelation, he says, hear what the Spirit says to the church. Churches, and the thing is that if you hear what he says, then you do it, and then you make it, which means it's not enough to say you believe. You got to know him. You got to know him. You got to be able to hear his voice, and you got to be willing to follow what he tells you to do. And this is what he wants anyway. This is the whole purpose of entering into the family of God, which means an abiding relationship with God. So how you're going to make it, how we're going to make it, is God's going to speak to each of us, and he's going to give us directions in our abiding time, what's going to happen that day. You know, maybe when you always took left down this road one day, God's going to say, take a right, because at that point, provision's going to be there. Maybe he's going to multiply your food. You know, maybe he's going to give you wisdom on how to maybe store up some stuff to be able to feed somebody. You know, whatever he's going to do, he's going to do. But he's the one that does it. You're not going to be able to say, hey, I believe, therefore nothing's going to happen to me. Mm. I mean, you can try that. I mean, you can, if a train's coming your way, you can stand in front of it and say, I believe that the Lord will protect me from this train. But I personally believe, and we'll find out if you do that, and I don't recommend that, and I'm not suggesting that in any way, that you will find out that God's not going to stop that train, and you'll be able to discuss it with God a few seconds later, because you'll be standing in the throne room, and I've been, talking to him about, what were you doing? And it's like faith without works is dead. And so you need to get in now. Mm-hmm. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know him, not know of him. You need to know him. You need to have an abiding relationship with him. You need to be his disciples. You need to hang out with people who hang out with God, who desire to follow him. And you got to begin to prepare. Prudent preparation. Go to VFNTV.com and watch Prudent Preparation. We'll be right back because we have the citizenship test coming up in just a moment.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes sometimes hear back, well, my pastor preached last Sunday on X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today? Right. And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it? Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess,
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice. Yes. And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. If you're out there and you wanted to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you. Yes, he cares about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. If you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
When you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. It's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. Mm. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making it. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news. It just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, my journey, which is just kind of, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point, but rest assured that, outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
VFN Radio and VFN TV, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God is has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out, that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see, where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just, every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month,
You can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Here we are. We're going to take the citizenship. I'm very excited about it. I know that everybody's pumped that's out there listening to us. Oh, there they are. Totally amazing. You know, just this week, quiet. Okay, listen. Just this week, over 48,000 that we've reached just this week, you know, on the VFN radio reach is happening at VFN TV. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how... We just love you guys. We're excited about reaching out to you, and we're just beginning. We're just now getting our footing, you know, by God's grace. And if he empowers us, we're going to stay with you, and we're going to walk this thing out, and maybe till the Lord returns, but at least until the stadiums are filled and we've fulfilled in our generation what he's called us to do. But it is time for the U.S. citizenship test. Of course, I always call it the USS, coming from my Navy experience, the United States ship. It's actually the United States citizenship test. Mm. And there's a test that everybody has to take to be able to become a United States citizen. It's a 100-question test. And if you really watch C-SPAN, you wonder if anybody on C-SPAN's ever even seen this test. You know, if you watch how they negotiate with each other, you're thinking, isn't it part of the basic citizenship test? And it's sort of like when I was in the Navy, that you went through boot camp and you did all this tough stuff in boot camp. But once you got out of boot camp, it's like you didn't do that anymore. Unlike us Navy, not like the Marines, they continued to stay fit. And it was just like, if you can just get through boot camp, and it's almost like the citizenship test today. It's like, if you can just get through this test, you really don't have to do it. Just pass the test. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? We got to get back to the original intent of this. And what we're doing is we are... taking 5 questions at a time, this 100-question test, and we're moving right along. I think everybody's doing fairly well. We're all learning as we go. We found out how competitive Pat is.
Yes, we did.
It's amazing, isn't it? We need to pray for Pat. It was pretty intense. it was pretty intense. And, you know, we just all need Jesus. We just all need Jesus, you know? And it's moments in competition. I mean, he's a Saints fan. You think you'd be, you know, it doesn't matter which way it goes or nothing, but you know, I don't know where that came from. But here we are. Who goes first today? Do you know who goes
it's
first?
John.
Isn't that amazing? He slept on this all night long. You know what I'm saying? He didn't look at nothing. He just knew exactly it was your turn. Well, this is going to be a real difficult question then. Of course, this is how it goes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm going to ask you the question, and you need to pause and think, because when you tell me you're ready for the answer, that's going to be your final answer. And of course, if you get it right, of course, everybody's always excited. Always excited when you get it right. But of course, if you get it wrong. So here we are. Here is your first question for the United States citizenship test. Out of 5 today, we're going to do the first one, which is really the number 26 question. But first one today is, we elect a president for how many years? We elect a president for how many years?
Thank you.
All right, here we are. This is the question. This is the question that Pat said you would take first. He's the one that put the order out here. You know what I'm saying? So cool.
Thank
it's just,
you, Pat.
No problem. We elect a president for how many years?
4 years.
Oh, my goodness. You did it. Oh, that is so wonderful. That is so cool. That could have been Pat's question, but he wanted to make sure that you had that question. He is just so kind. He is so kind.
So kind.
And how he does that.
You're welcome.
I'm sure he
will. Compassionate. He's just listening.
Well, he's kind. Kind.
Oh. Matter of fact, you can have the next one.
You can have the next one. Can you spell president?
How many colors are in the flag?
How many colors are in the flag? The I was listening to VFN Radio yesterday. We're going to maybe sewing a new star on the flag soon for Puerto Rico becoming a state. Pat, this is a 4-year citizenship, you know, self-deport. You may have to go to New Orleans. here's the question. In what month, I want you to think about it. Wait, pause, think, then it's going to take a little bit. In what month do we vote for the president? All right, here we go. The question is from the U.S. citizenship test, which appear to be a little bit easier than some of the other ones that you've had.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, in what month do we vote for the president of the United States?
That would be November.
Hey, oh my goodness. That was very good. You know, it's very important. Okay. Listen, it's very important because, you know, if you've never been here before and you want to know when the president, you're going to vote for him, it's November and it happens every 4 years. I mean, a lot of people don't know, well, how long does the sheriff, is he in office? How long is the governor in office? And we need to find these things out. I mean, who would ever thought that you know, a House representative's 2 years, senators, six years, and the president's 4 years. That's brilliant because there is no, all of a sudden, everybody's leaving office and brand new spanking people are coming in who don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Of course, they had no idea that people would just stay there forever like mold. They were thinking people would actually leave and go back to their farms and that type of thing. Maybe that day will come back. Okay, this question goes to John. John, here is the question. The question for you is, what? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
The question is, what is the name of the president? What is the name of the president of the United States? What is the name of the president of the United States? Well, hold on, my thought right now.
Okay.
John, what is the name?
Yes.
What is the name? What is the name? You need more time? You got this.
I think I got this.
What is the name of the president of the United States of America?
I'm going to go with.
This is your final answer now.
It's my final answer. I'm going to go with Barack Obama.
Hey, oh my goodness. Very good. President Barack Obama was just elected as the president in this November, because we vote for our president in November. And that was pretty good. That was pretty good. You think you would have had these questions first, right?
Yeah, right.
You think, oh my God, 100 of these puppies. If it's already like that already, you know, what's the DNA of whatever? Okay, Pat. Here is the next question. The next question for you today from the citizenship test is, what is the name? What is the name of the vice president of the United States now. Okay, what is it? The final answer, what is the name of the vice president now?
That would be Joe Biden.
Oh, very good. Very, very good. Exactly right. He is the vice president. He's also known as Joe the Vice President. He used to be called Joe the Plumber. Now it's Joe the Vice President. The final and the last question from the Citizenships Today, is like a mouse situation that's going on right here. It's like a mouse, not a mouse, but a mouse. Is John. This is so important. This is from the citizenship test, from the United States, which we're finding out that we need to learn this, and it's really helping us out. But here's the question. The question for you today is, if the president can no longer serve, you know, as president, who becomes the president? If the president can no longer serve, who becomes the president? Okay.
Are you ready?
I think he was Googling it.
Let me see.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to go with, would that be Joe Biden, the vice president?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yes. Well, as long as that he is the vice president at the time. So it's the vice president. Whoever the vice president is. And then you think about it. It's so important to understand that the reason why a president runs, when he's running for office, he has to find a vice president to go on the ticket with him. The reason why he does that, or possibly she in the future, is so that in case they're picking somebody that will be president, in case they get sick or something happens to them and they can no longer serve in office. So it's very important, you know, is that person that they're choosing to be their vice president, are you confident that they can be president? And it's so important because that's happened several times in America's history. Yeah. I mean, we've had, 44, 45, 46
presidents,
I believe.
44? That's 44. 44. And that it's happened. And so you don't just get anybody. Would you be comfortable with that person being the president of the United States, because it could just happen. You just never know. And so that's why when they pick a particular candidate and they really think it through and understanding this person is the person that I would like to be able to carry on, you know, after me, if I wasn't to survive or got sick or something of that nature. Well, congratulations. You guys have done so well today.
Yay.
You would think from the citizenship test that these questions would have been first.
Yeah.
I know
y'all were sweating based on some of the other ones that we had right there. But this is very, very important. And it's 100 questions. We're going to make this available on the VFN Torch where you could probably give yourself and share with your family. Well, what a way to be an American, to raise your children up to be able to answer these 100 questions. And what a way to go, you know what, I'm going to actually talk to my congressman and my senator and my governor and the questions I'm going to ask them these 100 questions, and then I'm going to say, you know, do you plan on bearing fruit in agreement with these in your office while you're serving off in office? And that's like, wow, that's great. It's a brilliant form of government that our forefathers, you know, put together. But they came under many years of tyranny that brought them to this particular place. They didn't just come up with some scheme or some idea. There was a lot of pain and tyranny, and there's a reason why they did what they did. And so we need to regain, reboot, go back to the original tent of our founding fathers in the U.S. Constitution and understand, you know what? We don't want to mess up, you know, what many people gave their lives for us to be able to have. Cool?
Yeah.
Well, you know, today's wisdom moment, we always talk about, you know, we want God's wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. And if there's one thing that's missing today, it just seems like, where's wisdom? Wisdom's crying aloud in the streets and the cities, and it's like nobody's responding to her. And understand that you can personally respond. That's why we have these wisdom moments. And you know, Solomon was David, King David's son, and he asked for, and they asked him, you know, what would you want, you know, from God for your leadership? And he could have asked for a lot of things, but he asked for wisdom. And God gave him so much wisdom that he was the wisest person that was ever walked on the face of the earth outside, you know, of Jesus, who was wisdom himself. Mm-hmm. And so when you're reading Proverbs, it's just so much wisdom in God's word in general, but you can get it just how to operate your life and how to make decisions. And today it's Proverbs, wisdom moments from Proverbs 11, chapter 11, verse 24 through 25. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. It says, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Let me say that again. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Now, what about this wisdom? You think about it, the world's viewpoint is the opposite. The world says hoard and don't give and don't be generous and let others get their own. And if they start giving to others that don't have, eventually nobody will have, and it's just not going to work that way. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus very specifically tells us in Luke 6, 38 to 39, he says, give. He says, give, and it will be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For whatever measure you use, it will be measured unto you. What's that saying? He's saying, listen, ever how you're given to others is how it's going to be given to you. He says, think about this. Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured in your lap. For whatever measure you use to give to others, it's going to be given to you. Men giving to you, pouring it into your lap. I mean, think about it. The secret for actually having more is to give more. You can give your way out of a debted situation. And because once your mindset changes over, poverty is a mindset. There's many people that go back and look on their lives and how they were raised up. And, you know, they said, yeah, I never knew that I was quote poor, unquote, the way they define me today. We ate and we lived our life and it's just how it was. And why they did not have a poverty mindset, but all of a sudden you keep moving this poverty line up. And hopefully this week we'll talk about some of that in America, that, you know, what we call poor in America is like Americans, our poorest Americans live better than 85% of the world's population. 85%. Of the world's population. So do we really even know what poor is, because we're so blessed? But it's just really cool, because when you break that mindset of understanding that if you don't have enough, it's time to give. And you see the church today, when you look at George Barna, that we talk about quite often, that 90%, 97% of the regular church attenders, you know, that they don't give. They don't give God his tithes and offerings. They don't do it. And it's like, what's going on? Well, the whole world's economy is quaking and shaking and about to collapse. And it's like, how? And it's like, maybe if we tax more, you know, maybe if we take from the rich and give to the poor, maybe. How about this? How about the word of God? The wisdom moment for today. This is the key. The key is holding loosely everything that God entrusts to you, being willing at any time to be able to give what God has given to you, to be able to give to others. It's Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I just love these wisdom moments. You know, in regards to God's news behind the news, I know we have a few moments left. I want to be able to talk about this. That, you know, the question you're wondering when you look at the agriculture department in America, and you heard about during the election that why was the agriculture department, who handles food stamps, which is really not food stamps, it's called SNAP card, and it's like a credit card, and which is cool that America provides for those that don't have food. But they also said you have a right to a telephone, a cell phone, and they started giving these phones out. Well, just this week, I believe, California, it's reported that they're beginning to give phones out to the homeless. That the cell phones out to the homeless. So, you know, the question, one question was like, where are they
going to the homeless? They hear that, right?
Yeah, where are they going to plug them in at? You know what I'm saying? Where are they going to charge them at?
Exactly.
But that you know, the question you would ask yourself, and you may ask yourself, but I don't really think people really ask themselves questions anymore. Mm-hmm. But is, you know, why would the government want to be, you know, giving out phones? Why would they want to give the homeless these particular phones? Well, and there's a reason why. Just from the practical standpoint, first of all, that America's set up, and God expects it to be set up in regards to us personally, that there's authority to be able to go through, that you have, you know, to be able to, if you want to talk to the children, for example, you need to talk to the parents. If you want to talk to the people, you need to work through their governor in a state. You need to work through their legislators. And but when you give somebody a communication device, like is it Goebbels over with Hitler, his communication dude, is that they surpass all that communication. They can go directly to the people. They can talk directly to your children. They can know, they can surpass all this form of government, this representative mm-hmm. government, and they can talk directly to them anytime they want to. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. So when you give a communication device that goes from the federal government and the state government right to every individual in that state, you just kind of ruled out all your government that's there, the people that you, they can go right to them now. Mm-hmm. You know, and what happened to these government? What happened to people that you're supposed to be accountable to? And according, including your children, you know, who are, you know, they're doing the very same thing. And the second thing is that you can track the homeless. Mm-hmm. You can track them because you have to go out and count the homeless and where are they at, and you can kind of know where they are. I don't know if you know this or not, but your telephone, your cell phone, it's wherever you're at, there's like a beacon that they can put on a map, and it follows. Even though you may not pay for the service, it's there. And they know where your phone is 24/7. They even have some statistics to say, you know, where people put their phones at, and you can see this on the VFN Torch, you know, where do people put their phones when they go to bed at night. Some people leave it in their cars. Some people put it in a room in their house. And most people kind of lay it by their bedside at a table or something. They know this because they're tracking the phones. Mm. You know, Google is mapping not only the earth, but they're mapping buildings, shopping centers, and so that they can know where people are in the context of those buildings. And you'll see that little beacon that's in there. So they're tracking. So it's a way to track the homeless, and it's a way to track everybody that is on food stamps or on the SNAP program, because if they give everybody a phone, they can know exactly where everybody is. And of course, most people just voluntarily say, hey, give me a beacon, here I am. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to this guy, and we're going to be talking more about it. I think he wrote a book, it's called How to Make a Mine or something of that nature. And his predictions, when he predicted that would be in the past, like 85-90% of his predictions come to pass.
Yeah.
And now he's talking about, yeah, I think he's the one that created artificial intelligence for Google and how these things work and these logarithms and all. But now he's saying the future is going to be where these computers are going to be small, obviously. Mm-hmm. They're going to be implanted in the bodies. It's going to be artificial intelligence, and it's going to begin to answer questions before you even ask them, because now they are building a understanding of you, a profile of you that kind of understands you. And
listens to your whole conversation, every conversation you've been having.
Yeah, every conversation you've had, every, you know, form. If you have a Android phone, that's Google. Google's gathering all that data. If you're using Google Docs and Gmail and all those different things, and they're just building this artificial intelligence. And it's like, we are coming, and it's going to be smarter than you in regards to knowledge, but not wiser than you. And that's why wisdom is so important. Wisdom says, do not take your computer and implant it into your head.
Right.
But if you don't have wisdom, you just go, hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I won't have to think anymore. That thing will think for me. and it will actually answer the question beforehand. Listen, we are moving into this age rapidly where people are not wanting to do the hard work of thinking anymore. That's why you see socialism, with everybody's kind of going towards the socialism, and our president is a socialist. I really believe he's a socialist at heart, and he believes that, and you know, socialists aren't sinners. You know, they're not. God loves socialists, and God loves communists, and God loves, you know, whatever form. Your government doesn't determine your relationship with God. It's just another idea. But what happens, though, when the government begins to take over these things, people have a tendency to turn to government instead of God.
Right.
In the context of that. And now it's easier. There's never been technology around in the world like today. I mean, if Hitler would have had this technology, you know, it would be totally over. Mm-hmm. I mean, they marked the Jews with the star on their sleeve. But today they would actually probably mark them with a chip. And they track prisoners today. They have a bracelet that puts on the prisoner and put them at home arrest. And mm-hmm. they know if that prisoner's left a certain area or whatever. Well, that's, you know, it's just, we're happening to say in today that we'll use it for prisoners, but it can be used tomorrow for Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Look at the drones that are taking place, and that you can track people, you know, with the drone situation. And down in South Florida, it's reported that a police department has been asking to be able to begin to use drones in America for investigations. And it's like, you know, what point are we going to be willing to trust God, you know, instead of trusting Google, mm-hmm. instead of trusting knowledge? We got it. Knowledge is important, but knowledge puffs up without God. We don't need to trust our knowledge. There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil that was in the garden. God said, don't touch it. And the thing is that we can live life without knowing everything if we know God, because God is omnipotent. He knows everything. He knows at the same time. But if you refuse to know God, you're going to have a tendency to want to know everything because you're fearful, which is Google's desire is to put all information at the hand of anybody, anytime. I mean, you think about it, a 7-year-old in India that's never touched a computer can get one and that day have access to practically all information known to man, you know, at one moment. And we are entering into that time. So when you start seeing government hand out anything but hand out tracking devices and communication devices, it's surpassing the government, going right to the people. And it's also, which our current president is known for, organizing the nation, a community organizer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also tracking the people and tracking the homeless. And somebody says, that's kind of great. We'll be able to track them. I was like, really? Constitution says you shouldn't do that. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.